You're listening to the Star Wars Report, Episode 21, Chilling in the Wampa's Lair. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Star Wars Report. I'm Riley. With me is my co-host, Bethany.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome.
To our and show. Mr. Mark Herleman.
Hey! Hey, move over, Whistler.
And
shut
Whistler.
Off.
Not to forget Whistler. How is Whistler doing these days?
He's cranky, man. I've never seen a droid get so angry. I think he owns the mic or something.
Does he speak bocce? That's the question, though.
Apparently he does.
I'm super thrilled to be with you guys tonight. This is the Star Wars Report, live on Middle Earth Network Radio. We're so glad that you guys
Men.
Have chosen. What?
Oh.
Oh, Mark.
I've been waiting
I want
you.
That sound loop.
I've been wondering how long it would take you to do that, because you've mentioned it so many times off air, Mark, and then I just kind of threw it out there. Ben. Okay. Anyways. That is what? Let me look at our timer. That is a minute and 20 seconds into the show, and we've completely derailed. I think that's a new record. So let's bring him in. Last week, we talked about a big announcement. We kind of teased around a little bit, but we are super thrilled to have the head of the next chapter in the Star Wars Report saga. This is the front man of the brand new Star Wars podcast, The Wampa's Lair, discussing all of the awesomeness that is the Star Wars galaxy. Come into the show, Mr. Carl LeClaire. Thank you for coming on.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We are super thrilled to have you, Carl, and we've been working a lot with you behind the scenes. I'm just going to throw the ball in your court. I'll just completely let you make this big announcement that we alluded to last week.
And he tosses it to Michael Jordan.
And Michael Jordan, with his tongue out, goes up big. And so, yes, we are going to be joining the Star Wars Report. I started a new podcast with my friend Jason Hunt, whom I met at Fan Days, which is actually where I met all of you lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason and I have started a podcast known as The Wampa's Lair. And essentially the purpose of The Wampa's Lair is to simply discuss anything Star Wars, anything and everything Star Wars. What we are particularly looking to do is just pick topics from the films that interest us, topics perhaps maybe that surround in the EU, and just discussing them. Now, we are not going to be much of a news site. If you're looking for the news and such, you know, Star Wars Report is where you want to be. But if you're looking just to jump into the movies, discuss things that we see in the movies, characters, scenes, ships, whatever you can think of, that's what we're going to be doing in the Wampa's Lair. We'll be having guests throughout the years and, just discussing lots of random things. We've even started a segment where we essentially just pick some fun lightsaber matchups. We started that in our second show, and we're carrying that on until basically we run out of ideas. But just picking fun things from the Star Wars galaxy to pick up, discuss, and we'll be open to listeners' comments, listeners' suggestions of possible show topics.
Yeah,
essentially that's what the Wampa's Lair is going to be all about. It's just a couple of guys who love Star Wars just talking about the movies.
There you go.
For every other week, and just having fun with it.
Definitely. And we're super thrilled to have your podcast on StarWarsReport.com, because you guys, like you say, you're joining us. It's quickly becoming a network, and I'm really excited. You guys are doing a biweekly show, right?
That's right, yes. We'll be putting out another show next week. We've done one every week for a couple weeks now, but switching to every other week starting next week.
Exactly. I mean, for the listeners, you guys have already recorded not one, not two, but three episodes so far.
That's right. We've been very ambitious so far.
Yeah, yeah. And like I say, Bethany and I had the pleasure of meeting you and briefly your co-host, Jason, at Fan Days in Dallas, Texas. And we certainly had a great time. We got to hang out with you there and really make some connections and meet each other in person, which is kind of unusual Because when you think about it, usually Star Wars fans, especially these days in the podcasting universe, meet each other online first, and then they finally get to meet each other in person. Like, Bethany, right. I have yet to meet Mr. Herleman in person yet. It's coming up. Celebration 6, man.
I'm like Ben Kenobi, the hermit out in Tatooine Waste.
That's right. I hear they had to order you a sandcrawler, Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
It was nice, though. It was all pimped out. It had hydraulics and everything. You know, I loved in your guys' opening, Carl, how you guys talked. I mean, it felt in-universe. You guys were talking about how, you know, we're stuck in the cave and nothing to talk about but Star Wars. I just love the way that it played out. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, sold.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Jason came up with that intro, and he did a great job with it.
He did, yeah, yeah. So we're super excited. What you guys can do is over the next 2 or 3 days, especially for you guys listening live, it'll be another day or two. We've got the categories in WordPress set up. We've got all the little bells and whistles and buttons to push. Everything seems to be ready to go. We've got your feed. So we'll be submitting that to iTunes in the next day or two. We'll have your first 3 episodes up on StarWarsReport.com. There's already a little icon that you can click on the website, the Wampa's Lair. We'll be doing some about pages and host bios in the next day or two. So like I say, all this has been in the works for a couple weeks now. We're finishing up all the details, and you guys will be joining us for bi-weekly regular shows on the StarWarsReport.com. So welcome to the team. Welcome home.
Yes, we're really excited to have you. I had a lot of fun listening to your first episode. I was listening to it while working on the house, and
yes,
podcast makes
the world go round.
No. not quite. Podcasts make things that were once boring not quite as boring.
Yes.
Unlike school lectures that I sometimes have to listen to.
Way better than school lectures. So yes.
But I wanted to ask you, why a Star Wars podcast? Why not a blog?
Why not?
Just listening to other podcasts? Or what excited you about doing your own podcast?
Yeah, I think the thing with podcasts, I mean, I'm really shocked how quickly I've gotten this thing rolling. I never listened to a podcast till about 1 year ago, like last week. I started listening to some Star Wars podcasts about a year ago. I live in Boston, but my family's all still back in New York, and I was taking a road trip home, and I was like, you know what? I need something to do besides just listen to music. So I downloaded some Star Wars podcasts, got really into it, and I did most of my early communications with the guys at the Sarlacc Pit, which I know you guys have done a lot with as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I really enjoyed listening to them, and I'm not much of a writer. I don't enjoy writing all that much. I did enough of that in college and grad school that, you know.
Internet fist bump. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me too. And, exactly.
I much would prefer talking. I'm a teacher, and I prefer talking as opposed to giving notes. So, you know, it was a great opportunity for me to just talk Star Wars. And that was especially something when I was at Fan Days. You know, I got to meet, you know, you two, Riley and Bethany, and obviously I got to sit down with Chris and Matt from the Sarlacc Pit. I mean, all of you guys were fantastic, and just you watching you guys with your media passes and getting to do all that fun stuff was great. And I just figured to myself, you know what, it would be a lot of fun to start my own podcast. And like I said, I met Jason there, and Jason's helped out with, he's been on the front lines with Matt. And I said to Jason, the second night we were there, I just look at him, I go, Jason, why don't we do a Star Wars podcast? And he's like, I love it. And, you know, I mean, the main reason, Bethany, is just, it's an opportunity to just talk Star Wars. It's, you know, talk about the movies I've been in love with since I was 6 years old. And, you know, it's been so much fun already.
Yeah, yeah. And what you strike me, Carl, as the kind of guy you teach theology. Am I correct?
You're right. Yes.
Yes. And so I love hearing your perspectives, even just in conversations in person, that make it so much more interesting to take a look at Star Wars and maybe a little bit more in depth than people do sometimes. And I think that's one thing that you definitely bring to the Wampa's Lair, and I'm really looking forward to it being on StarWarsReport.com. Carl, I'd love to invite you to stick around for the rest of the hour and kind of swing bats with us at the latest news, if you're up to it.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how much I'll be able to participate in. I mean, I know you guys are going to be talking about the latest Clone Wars episode, I believe, right?
Yes, we are indeed. Saving that.
I will have some things to say about that. Mr. Krell is kind of a man from hell, if you will.
Not a fan then.
Nobody really seems to be. So we've got a ton of news. I'll tell you what, Mark, we'll kind of jump through some of these and then discuss some of the more interesting ones as well as we continue through the news. Let's go ahead and jump into the first and tongue fail. The first news story.
Those were words, Riley.
The first news story, which I put right up first, this is from ClubJ.net, Star Wars Identities. What could it be? Where could he be? 3PO? What could Star Wars Identities? I'm sorry, guys.
Okay.
Bethany, why don't you take this news story?
Okay. Star Wars Identities, and you would know that I wouldn't have the show notes up. Okay, there are.
I've got it. Okay. Fusible. All right. I got it. Okay. All right. Okay. I just want to point out really
just
quick.
Just club him! Club him!
Biff, bam, pop.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so.
No disintegrations.
Star Wars Identities. That is reports that Lucasfilm has been copywriting and registering.
She's staring at my computer.
Domain name.
I'm just gonna give that away right now. Well, I'm trying to pull
it. Okay, why don't you take it after fighting for it? I'll just give
okay,
it to
okay,
you.
Okay, okay, okay. What we're doing is ClubJ.net is talking about a domain name that's surrounded the title Star Wars Identities. Lucasfilm just registered this last week. An animated film, the live action series, possible, but I suspect this is coming straight from Club Jade. Some sort of game is most likely the target. I've seen some rumblings lately from LucasArts looking for folks with experience in the flight sims and first-person shooters field. Star Wars Identities.
Hmm. I would think that it would be a game. Yeah. I agree with Dunk on this one. It makes sense. I mean, we haven't really had an RPG or, you know, first-person shooter for a little while. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it's a game of that type. And I do remember such rumblings. I don't remember where I heard them from. But maybe, I think Zach over at EU Cantina mentioned something to me a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, often we'll talk about these when they register patents or trademarks or domain names. Sometimes nothing comes of it. And sometimes stuff does come of it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes up much later down the road.
Yeah,
I think I agree with you guys. It's games or comics. That's what I see. One or the other. I don't see it being a book really. But I could totally see it being, you know, them taking this tour concept and really going places with it, and doing a spin-off like when they did the jump to hyperspace with Galaxies.
Yeah, I could see something like that. Quickly moving into story number two, Lucas Books, the publishing division of Lucasfilm Ltd., has hired former Simon & Schuster editor Jennifer Heddle as senior editor to oversee the adult fiction portion of the Star Wars publishing program. Replacement for Sue Stoney, I don't know. Do you, Mark? I'm curious.
Yeah, I believe that she is a replacement, but I've heard some people were asking if it is the same position, because there was another one, like one was an executive and one was this position, the senior editor. And the question came as to which one was the higher up and which one was really being replaced, if it was Sue or the executive.
Yeah, I could see something like that. Just as a brief note, when does the Del Rey contract end out? I don't know off the top of my head.
I believe it's 2013.
2013?
The end of that is the end of it. And I heard there's some rumblings about that being discussed.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll renew, because it went from Bantam to Del Rey, right? As far as the publishing rights? As I recall,
yeah.
It was Bantam, then Del Rey, and then who knows? I wonder if someone else will pick it up. I'd be interested to see what some of the fate of the Jedi sales are right now, because they certainly haven't gotten rave reviews, so to speak. But anyway, Jennifer Heddle was one of the guests at Dragon Con. This is before we knew that she had taken this position, but we could have caught up with her. Oh well, that would have been funny. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. And also,
Dragon Con was just so busy; it was impossible to do everything we had lined up.
Yeah, this is true. So Jennifer Heddle is on Twitter at Jennifer Heddle Heddle. If you want to follow her and be all social, fun stuff like that. The next story, I wanted, and the reason I blazed through those first two is because I really wanted to talk about this, guys. And I'm going to throw the link. Can you throw the link in the chat room, Bethany? We got some folks listening live over at the Middle Earth Network. the Geek Out Blogs CNN link on the show notes.
Oh, okay.
We got some people listening live on the Middle Earth Network chat room. A little bit of technical difficulties for a second, or at least a brief scare disappeared, and now it's there. So we've got some folks listening in the chat room.
Yeah, thanks to the Middle Earth Network radio people. They fixed it.
They popped on that quickly,
really,
so thank you guys.
Yeah, really quickly. Thanks.
I'm going to start reading this. This is from CNN's new Geek Out blog. Have you seen this by any chance, Carl? This Geek Out CNN blog? Since they've started doing it?
I have not.
Interesting, because they just started this in recent year, I think in the past couple months, where they actually dedicate a whole blog to geek news on CNN. CNN's actually kind of going with the geeks. I think it proves how mainstream this has gotten. So this is fascinating. I'm going to read this through, guys, so bear with me. It's not too long of a post, but I just want you to hear this. Parents try, with varying degrees of success, to shape our kids' pop culture tastes. For many a geek mom and dad, this extends to Halloween, or as I like to call it, a day of nationally sanctioned cosplay. This is true. Of course, even the gentlest suggestion is a form of projecting what not to like. What's not to like about this Wolverine costume? But even if they bite, it's only a matter of time before they start, you know, thinking for themselves. My son and I were on the same page when we first discovered the original Star Wars trilogy a few years ago. He latched onto those movies in a major way and displayed the all-too-familiar enthusiasm that drove my mother nuts from roughly 1977 to 1983. In ways good and bad, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. How to talk to your kids about Star Wars. Enter the prequel years. Dun, dun, dun! Slowly but surely, he began to fall for the despised Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, and the slightly less awful Revenge of the Sith, which he's only seen in parts because of the whole leg amputating, flesh burning thing.
Yeah.
These films are watchable only because Ewan McGregor did such a great Obi-Wan, but they nevertheless became his favorite of the six. Annie was his ace, and there's nothing I could do about it. I let it go, or at least thought I had. It gets better, guys. When the annual Halloween costume catalog arrived recently, both kids dove into it and homed in on the good stuff. My daughter went to her earliest decision with Uhura, winning, and an excellent choice that had nothing to do with me. My son went to the Star Wars section, and we spotted a seriously sharp X-Wing fighter pilot jumpsuit. Battle of Yavin Yo. Me. This is a great costume for you, son. Son. Oh, yeah, it's cool, but I think I want to go with Anakin. Me. But it's got a helmet and everything, and it's a little less expensive, but a little more expensive, but I don't mind. Him. It's not that I don't like it. I'd just rather have the Anakin costume. This is where it really gets interesting to me, guys. Because let's
not Marie. This is like a repeat of me and my son 2 years ago.
I know you've experienced this, Mark, haven't you? Let's pause for a second. Okay, so it's really obvious that he really doesn't want his son to like Anakin. We'll get into this in a second. I think this is going to spawn an awesome discussion, guys. After my pitch failed, I had to accept that the Halloween costume of my childhood dream was not necessarily his. Each generation gets to decide what it likes, and I don't want to be a cranky oldster who can't see past 1995. At least I could relate, unlike my poor mother, who was utterly baffled by my tendency to say, I have a bad feeling about this, at random times. though Anakin strikes me as a whiny jerk with impulse control issues, I sort of get why a kid would like him. He thinks the authority figures are holding him back. He gets into trouble constantly and reacts based on emotion instead of logic. From Attack of the Clones on, he's essentially a big child with amazing powers and the coolest accessory ever. And to be fair, Luke could whine a blue streak too. I'm glad that I like the way he's a little bit balanced. He's pointing out that some of this does happen in the original trilogy. I must admit that the Star Wars Clone Wars series is good, as was the previous Cartoon Network show that chronicled Anakin's Padawan period, so fine. He gets to be Anakin and express his love for Star Wars in his way. Mom will keep her comments to herself and let the youngsters take the wheel. But I might just get that jumpsuit out for myself. Dragon Con is only a year away. And thus closes the. That was an article that read verbatim. I usually don't do that, but I like that article so much. I just really wanted to share it with you guys. Written by Erika D. Peterman, the mom of the son who really, really didn't want him to wear the Anakin costume. So here's the thing, guys. When I read this, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well. When I read this, I couldn't help but constantly thinking to myself, it's amazing the parallels between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy that so many older fans are blind to. And I can say this with confidence because as many times as I've stated on this program, I love that I just called it a program. I need a cigar now. That was way more intellectual than I should have been. But yeah, as many times as I've said it on this program, The Phantom Menace was the first film I saw. So that, I think, really gives me a unique perspective on it because, you know what? Anakin was kind of a whiny jerk with impulse control problems, if you want to put it that way. So was Luke Skywalker. You want to get a Tashi station to pick up some power control?
Oh, Uncle Owen!
With the span shield, I can hardly see anything, you know. So the parallels are right there in front of you. Luke feels stuck, feels trapped, like people are, what? Holding me back! So, yeah. I think that Mrs. Peterman is definitely, I think, on the track of realizing the parallels and the reasons that her son likes Star Wars are many of the same reasons she liked Star Wars. They're not that different. It's not about brilliant acting. The actors in Star Wars aren't always, you know, the most amazing Shakespearean actors, except Ian McDiarmid. No one can say anything bad about Ian McDiarmid. I will punch you in the face. But it's just remarkable to me how similar they are in so many respects. The acting, the over-the-top melodrama, the ultimate good guys and bad guys, the heroes rise and fall, whether it be Luke or whether it be Anakin, the parallels are there. The main difference between the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy is that the prequel trilogy chronicles the rise and fall of a hero. Anakin made choices that had devastating consequences. Absolutely devastating consequences. Anakin's choices created a self-fulfilling prophecy where his wife died and his son and daughter were stranded in remote worlds, especially in the case of Luke. The havoc created by Anakin's selfish choices are sharply contrasted with Luke's choices that, while he had many of the same faults, Luke overcame them. Luke was tempted many times and never fully fell to the dark side. While Anakin was eventually redeemed, I think that's the main difference between the message between the prequels and the original trilogy. Not the acting, not the special effects, not the holes in the plotline, not the complex political things, all these things that people complain about. Those aren't the differences. If you want to mark differences between what you grew up with in your childhood in the original trilogy, mark that as a difference. Show our generation saw the fall of our hero. Your generation saw the rise of your hero. But if you look at the whole picture, you can see the message of Star Wars. And so I don't even, when in my mind, still to this day, have a hard time separating the storyline. And I think so many people still view them as two separate storylines and don't follow the cohesive saga that is Star Wars. So I'm sorry, guys. I've been ranting. Thoughts? Let me toss.
I could tell. Commentary. I could feel that you've been thinking about this a lot. I mean,
I didn't mean for it to be that long at all, but I just kind of got all worked up. The thoughts, Carl, Mark, Bethany.
I have some because, you know, like you said, I've lived this in a different light. I mean, for me, it's all about the costume. I remember I've got pictures of one of my son's birthdays because he had the 501st coming for the first five birthdays. Not the very first one, but from 2 to 5, the 501st was there. And one of them, he had this Power Ranger costume that he insisted that he was going to wear. And so his friends got to wear his Commander Cody and Captain Rex costumes, and he was wearing this red Power Ranger costume with the 501st guys. I was like, come on, bud, please put on the Rex costume. You know, and this year is the same thing. I bought him the helmet to go with the Rex costume, and this year he wanted to be the Skull Ninja. And, you know, there was nothing I could do. That's what he wanted to be. But it was funny. And I think about, you know, how you're talking about the two different sagas. I've always broken down, you know, I like the Empire. I like the clones. But I love the Jedi. So I was always more aligned with the Jedi, even the Sith, because the Sith were like Jedi. And so, you know, when me and him got into Star Wars together, he immediately latched onto the troopers. He loves clone troopers. He loves everything about them. He sees the stormtroopers and they're clone troopers. You know, every one of them is a clone trooper. And every time he sees a new armor, I want that one. Dad, I'm that guy. Dad, I'm that guy. You know, and so... You know, at first I was kind of like, oh, great, you know, now I'm never going to get to be a Jedi around him, or he's just going to always be killing me. Because that was, if you've seen my Facebook account and stuff, you've seen his birthday cakes. It's always a Jedi bled to death by a bunch of clones. So, you know, it's one of those things where he's brought me around to that regards where now I realize when I look, you know, I used to always say Empire Strikes Back is my absolute favorite, and it was tied with Return of the Jedi. And now it's hands down Revenge of the Sith. And I love the clones so much, and with the Clone Wars and all that, that me and him are really more now of a prequel fans, hands down. If I would have to say I was one or the other now, I would fully be in the I love the prequels camp. It doesn't tarnish my love for the original trilogy, but through my son, he's brought me over to the dark side of what the parents who can't see past 1985. I love how she put that. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, I've seen both sides, and now I'm finding myself on the darker side through him. I mean, he's tainted me and brought me over like Luke brought Vader back.
Yeah, definitely. Carl, yeah, thoughts on this discussion?
Oh, boy.
Yes, we are passionate, by the way.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm an OT guy at heart. Always have been. Always will be. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a huge difference in the feel between the two trilogies. I mean, the prequel trilogy is much more. I mean, it falls into the dark because it's the story of the fall of Anakin. Whereas I think the OT, which is funny because visually the prequel trilogy is much more clean and pristine.
Yeah.
Yet it's the story of someone's fall, and then you have the OT, which is much, you know, darker visually and, you know, grimier, yet it's the story of Anakin's redemption. So sorry, I know I probably missed out on a little bit of what you guys were just saying. I was busy setting up a Twitter account for our site.
No, that's fine.
That's great, man. You've got some deep insight there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know. I mean, like you said, Riley, you know, I mean, you can't focus solely on the acting, because if you get lost in that, obviously, you know, OT is hands down far better as far as acting goes.
Yeah.
But I think the PT has, you know, it's the backstory. You need it. It's what informs the OT.
I agree 100% because, you know, as you said, the OT is more about Vader's fall / redemption, you know, his death. But I always remembered it being more about Luke. And I always remember thinking, you know, well, Luke's got to be the chosen one because, you know, Luke's the one that saves the day. Luke's that, you know. And it was like I had to read about how Vader really sacrificed. You know, I didn't quite buy it, you know, from watching the movie. But now with the prequel trilogy, it really does set that it was always about Vader, you know. And a lot of people, I remember, you know, before the prequels ever came out, there was a big argument online about whether or not the trilogy was Luke's story or Vader's story. And it was basically because there were those interviews of Lucas saying it was Vader's story. And everybody's like, that doesn't really seem like Vader's story. It's more Luke's story. You know, and I just remember people going back and forth with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard to argue that it is Vader's story, even in the OT, only because, you know, I mean, it's so focused on Luke. And, you know, I'm looking at what Chris is typing right now, and, you know, it's a one complete story, as he says.
Yeah.
You can't separate them, which I think is still the tendency, which it's hard not to separate them, though, because, I mean, these are films that were made 20 years apart. And they're two incredibly different feels to each trilogy. I mean, again, the PT is just, I don't know. I mean, there's almost a youthfulness to the PT, I think. Not just simply in the way that the films are made. You know, I mean, you have characters like Jar Jar and, you know, lots of goofy little spoofs here and there. But all that aside, I mean, I think there's greater depth. There's more at stake, I almost feel like, in the story of Luke Skywalker.
Maybe it's the
order in which they were you know, filmed and made. You know, with the PT, you already know what's going to happen.
Yes, it's the Titanic. You know the ship's going to sink at the end.
Right.
You bring up a good point about the age, too, because in the prequel trilogy, everybody in their positions are young. You know, we see a queen at the age of, like, 13. You know, we see everybody is young. Palpatine's young and all this. But in the old OT, you know, the rebellion leaders are all old people that were in positions at young ages, you know, and everything is ran by older people, and it's the younger generation's time to step in and take over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess I've always actually had a hard time separating the two trilogies, which is probably an unusual problem to have for a Star Wars fan. But growing up watching them so entirely mixed up with each other and thinking of them and approaching them as it's a one story, I always looked at it more as the Skywalker saga, not the story of Darth Vader,
the saga.
Or the beginning story of Luke. So it's something to me that was just one whole story that was told in amazing fashion.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I always enjoy these kinds of discussions, and often I know the Star Wars Report kind of returns to this, but I guess we'll continue on that saga, and we'll definitely revisit those.
It's fandom, you know. Yeah. You can't escape it. There's always new fans coming in, and old topics are always being rehashed.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always neat to get new people in on the discussion. The type of things that you'll often hear on the Wampus Lair podcast, now on Twitter, @ Wampus Lair podcast.
Exactly. That's right. Yes. I mean, this is, you know, maybe this is a great idea for a show.
I bet somebody might do a podcast about that kind of thing. Before we continue, let's go ahead and talk about our sponsor for this episode, ToyHut.com. Toy Hut with two T's, your source for the latest and greatest that is Star Wars collecting, all kinds of awesome stuff. And we've been kind of doing a tradition here at the Star Wars Report, and that's just doing a pick of the week. Now, I'm thinking about this. Mark or Bethany, I'm going to toss it to you.
I'm ready.
All right, go Mark. Mark, you're first there.
Wolf. Wolf, I want to see how many different wolves.
Commander Wolf.
Just type in wolf. See how many different wolves we have.
Let's take a look.
I want to see how many they have.
Popping it up on a Jet's Toy Hut. Commander Wolf. Do they have a wolf figure? We should know this.
Oh yeah, there's like four or five.
Commander Wolf, Star Wars. Now I'm just found the Wikipedia wolf. Was a predatory candid creature that can be difficult to dominate. Do you have it by any chance, Mark? Let's see. Bethany, do you have a pick? Let's see. But anyway, ToyHut.com, they have everything from vintage to Power of the Force 2 to episodes 1 through 3, those waves. They even have the vast array of Ahsoka figures. And I know that they've got to get a new Ahsoka figure coming out because of the upcoming Mandalore episodes that they're doing. But I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to cheat, guys, and give my pick of the week. And be all selfish here.
They have bobbleheads. I'm sorry.
My pick of the week is going to be the bobblehead Commander Gree. Can't go wrong there. Priced at $11.75. Very competitive pricing on all kinds of Star Wars merchandise. So please head over to ToyHut.com. Toy Hut with two T's. And I'll tell you what you can do. Two things. When you check out, just put in the little fields of comments section that you heard about them on the Star Wars Report. And why not just head over to the show notes? This is episode 21 or 20. Yeah, episode 21. I have to always think about that for a second. Go to the show notes for episode 21 and click on our link to Toy Hut, and then they'll know where you came from. Dun, dun, dun. Just
Take
Toy Hut.
The hyperspace jump.
Once again, Toy Hut with two T's. Thank them so much for their support. Sticking with us throughout the holiday season. Do your Christmas shopping at ToyHut.com. Let's go ahead and jump back into the episode. Carrie Fisher told to lose weight for the Star Wars role.
Mm-hmm. This is a story that I found interesting, and it's a story that's been around a long time, but I don't really feel that this kind of thing is too often talked about, particularly with Star Wars. But when Carrie Fisher was much younger and she was auditioning for the role of Princess Leia, she was told that she would need to lose 10 pounds in order to get the role. Now, at this time, she weighed 105 pounds. Losing 10 pounds at 105 pounds is not exactly an easy thing to do. Wow.
George Lucas, only you could be so bold.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. Anyway, it's something I thought was interesting because there's always this thing with female movie stars. Not always, but so I guess I shouldn't exaggerate. But there is often something with female movie stars, which is they tend to hit their peak at between 16 and 24 or something like
that. Yeah.
And then after that, they're not really main actors, actresses anymore. It's something that's a little annoying for me because a leading character, say like in particularly in older movies, like the old Humphrey Bogart days and such, a leading male character could be considered a leading male character like up to
like
his
60s. 65. I don't know.
Pretty much up to his 60s.
David Niven?
Like
anybody? John Wayne? Yeah. But yeah, it kind of goes to that old and false sense that to be a leading star, you have to be in absolutely superb physical condition with no flaws in your physical appearance. And that's kind of addresses Princess Leia was definitely not that. And that's one thing that really made Princess Leia great. And so Carrie Fisher, she's been doing the interview rounds for her new book, Shockaholic, addressing her use of shock therapy as a treatment for depression. Carrie Fisher is it's a rough story. She's had a very rough life, and she's very honest and frank about it. I've not had the chance to pick up Shockaholic. I don't know if I'll read it, but it's in stores now if you guys are interested. Let's go ahead and hop into our next story. I wanted to let you guys know about this event for our listeners in the United Kingdom. This is from theguardian.co.uk. There's a Star Wars weekend with the film's Oscar-nominated producer. A weekend for fans of Star Wars and sci-fi, which will examine how a film rejected by most of the major studios was put into production by 20th Century Fox and went on to become one of the most iconic films in film history. The course is the 24th and 25th of March in Edinburgh, Scotland. Edinburgh, Scotland. A weekend for fans in the Star Wars and sci-fi universe. That's my terrible Scottish impression. So Gary Kurtz, of course, the producer of Star Wars, will be doing seminars all day. So will 20th Century Fox producer. Let's see. The original 20th Century Fox producer from the Star Wars days who actually believed in and helped finance Star Wars, he will be there, and they'll be talking about what makes a science fiction hit and what it took. So over the weekend, Sandy Lieberson, sorry about that. That is the guy's name. But anyway, you'll do a series of interactive seminars where there will be regular opportunities for Q&A. Gary and Sandy will be offering firsthand insights into development, production, marketing, and what made this film a defining moment in the history of cinema. They'll be doing all kinds of programming. If this were anywhere on the Eastern Seaboard, I would go.
Yeah.
Anywhere. I may even go to the Midwest as far as traveling. Edinburgh, Scotland? Afraid not. But just wanted to let you guys know. That'll be in our show notes. It's again from The Guardian.
Did you
fire!
Yeah, has everyone seen this story of the fire at the fire at Skywalker Ranch?
We've had a slight extinguisher malfunction.
Everything's all right.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's Skywalker Ranch. Say it
did,
isn't
so. Did we lose anything? I mean, priceless collectibles? Everybody... I mean, I need to know. This is news to me. I'll be honest. I did not follow this link to the ground.
Yeah.
I was afraid to see the total carnage that ensued from the flames.
Three alarm fire.
This is a personal nightmare for me. This or a flood. These are worst case scenarios.
Three alarm fire reported at Skywalker Ranch. A chimney fire. Run!
Wow. For those of you who may or may not have watched Mary Poppins when you were little.
Exactly. The private... Okay, wait a second. I gotta... All right. From the revered journalism establishment that is the Marin County, California Independent Journal, a reported chimney fire grew to a three-alarm incident Tuesday night at Skywalker Ranch off Lucas Valley Road. Dateline, 2011. The fire was reported shortly after 5:30 p.m. as a chimney fire in the 50,000-square-foot main house, an office building on the property near Neasco, firefighter said. The private Skywalker fire crew called for... Wait.
What?
Wait a second.
Did you say that?
The private Skywalker fire crew... Hey, Judith, call in the private fire crew.
That's what I need to have. Yeah, wow. I could see that. How better to sleep at night if you own that big old nice little Skywalker Ranch than to have your own fire department right there on scene?
Everybody remember the opening of Revenge of the Sith as they're coming in?
The fire ships?
We lost something. Yes, the fire ships. I can just imagine a guy in the Revenge of the Sith fire crew outfit, and they're running in.
Spray the retardant foam now.
Only George Lucas has his own fire crew, and only George Lucas names them the Skywalker fire crew.
I know.
I wonder if they got clone names. Oddball, Jedi.
Yeah, they would got be call awesome. Signs.
That would be
all right. Anyway, they called for help from the Marin County Fire Department, which called for backup firefighters from San Rafael. No one was injured, and the County Fire Battalion Chief Mike Gianni. The cause was under investigation, but Gianni, said the fire apparently started in the area of a fireplace. Gianni said the extra firefighters were called.
I think it's actually Giannini. I just have to say it because it's such a fun name.
Okay, then.
Giannini. Oh.
All right. Said that extra firefighters were called in to make sure that the fire didn't spread throughout the building because we don't want all the precious Star Wars props gone. That was ad-lib for me. The fire caused little to no damage, said Lucasfilm spokeswoman Emily Nix. The sheriff's deputies were on scene to provide traffic control. Okay, has anybody ever seen George Lucas's pictures of the ranch? There's one right on this article. It's in the show notes. No, really, anybody in this panel. Okay, you know that this thing is miles and miles and miles away from any kind of civilization.
Could you imagine the little person there flagging people? Stay on target.
Exactly. The sheriff's deputy, if you're in Marin County and it's a slow day and you hear that there's a fire at Skywalker Ranch, you've got to come up with some kind of excuse to go there. I can just kind of see Deputy Sanchez says, you know what? I hear there's this fire. Quick, we got to get on the scene. And then I love that there's a press conference. Well, maybe not a press. I can kind of envision Lucasfilm spokeswoman when she's at the thing. Click, click, click.
They're like, these geeks need to know what went down, man. They got eyes in the sky everywhere. I don't know. They bugged the ranch. I don't know, but they know everything. We need to cut this head off now before there's pandemonium.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're running. We've carried that story far too long. We've got one more story before we begin to get ready to wrap up. And I know you got to leave pretty soon, Carl. So we'll bring you in on this story because I know you want to talk about it. Clone Wars. Everybody been watching it on the panel, by the way?
Yes. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
All right. So we're all on the same page. We're caught up. The Clone Wars, the Umbaran Centipede.
That's a tricky little one.
It's also a play off of the weird horror movie.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway.
Why did you put that in the show notes?
Okay. Let's talk about it. Clone Wars. Carl, you haven't been on talking about this particular arc yet, so you've been watching. Now, I know you're pretty new to the Clone Wars, so have you been watching all the season, or did you just kind of jump in for this most recent arc?
Well, I mean, I had seen all of the first two seasons in their entirety, and then I started watching season three a while ago, and I got bored of it. And then at Fan Days, after like listening to the panel discussions and talking to all of you guys, and you were all so revved up about it, I'm like, well, I'm going to be out of the loop unless I get back on this.
There you go.
So I came back, and Chris Smith told me, you know, Carl, you got to just fight through the first few episodes. It gets really good. And he was right. I saw, you know, people wearing those Savage t-shirts, and I was like, who's Savage? What's with Darth Maul and being called Savage? How's he in the Clone Wars? I was so confused, but I was too embarrassed to say anything. But yeah, I am all caught up now, and I've been watching them each week, and I'm really enjoying the current season. And the end of season, I mean, the first few episodes of season three are a bit slow, but I actually really enjoyed season three. Yeah, so far, I mean, I'm really enjoying this, and you know, season four has been great. I loved the episodes on Mon Calamari. But man, General Krell, I'm sure I'm not the only one who has something to say about this son of a gun. But yeah, I hope he dies quickly.
I love how you're very calm. You said, I like season three. It was pretty good. And season four started off a little slow, but I'm enjoying it now. And I hope Krell dies. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a bit harsh thing to say. Well, let me explain. Now, I was thinking, all right, you know what they're doing here is they're making him just to be, you know, like this real like tough nosed guy, and then, you know, he'll break and you'll see. You know, my impression was he's just doing this to try to break the clone troopers and, you know, really make them gain his respect and all that. But in light of last week's episode, I don't think he looks at the clones as people. I mean, it's very clear. He doesn't call them by their names. He calls them by their call numbers. And to him, they're nothing but drones. And that right there, it bothers me because he's a Jedi. And he's treating them as if they are nothing but droids. I take issue with that. Again, just as the fact that he's a Jedi. I mean, he makes Anakin look good. I mean, Anakin has enough compassion to look at these people as human beings, even though they're clones. Whereas Krell is just, you know, all about frontal assaults, and he doesn't care how many people dies.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe they'll bring Darth Maul back just to kill Krell, which is fine with me.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that.
I think Krell's story, though, is actually going to come to an abrupt and violent end by the end of this four-episode arc. We got two more episodes left in it.
Right. Maybe Grievous, because they always talk about how Grievous is so, you know, so amazing and, you know, such a tough villain, he doesn't do a whole lot except run away. So maybe, you know, he could kill Krell.
Wouldn't that be an amazing fight to see?
Yeah.
Two double-sided lightsabers versus four. Man,
yeah.
I can see that. Although, let me bring this up. An article on a great fan site. They're always on top of news. These guys are awesome. StarWarsReport.com. they did this
shameless
article.
Shameless person, you.
I'm sorry. We did spotted. Actually, this is me. I take full credit for this. This is all me. I spotted this little.
Hey, Ryan and I wrote the article.
You did. I just said this is cool. Write about it. Be gone with him. And that is the clones are to face spoiler alert.
Excitement! They're facing a lot of excitement!
Exhibition! Excitement! Yeah.
Go out to Kamino and get shot at! Woo!
Spoiler alert! You can tune out. This is the last story. If not, if you don't want to hear about Clone Wars spoilers, goodbye. We'll see you next week. But! Clones to face execution for disobeying General Krell in the upcoming two episodes. This is on a TV Guide's website.
You know, I just realized something. We just gave Carl practically no choice about spoilers because he's a guest on the show.
He can jump on. He can hang up. You can hang up, Carl. Do you mind?
No. I knew about that. That's okay. Don't worry. I love spoilers.
All right. He loves spoilers.
Spoil away. Just don't spoil my eggs.
All right. Actually, you know,
can finish the spoilers, and then I have a theory.
Well, I wouldn't really feel comfortable continuing without hearing, and in the case you can't tell, I'm stalling, without hearing.
Spoiler alert! This is the spoilers of Door 5! Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're now in spoiler zone.
All right. Is that good? It's an abrupt ending. I just couldn't stand not playing the audio. All right. Clones to face execution for disobeying General Krell. Or General Smell, as I like to call him. Anyway. This is... Let me scroll down to the original article. If I can find it. Here we go. TVGuide.com, where they talk about The Plan of Descent airing tomorrow night, episode season 4, episode 8. The clones disobey orders and plan to take out a supply ship. And then episode 9, Carnage on Krell is the title of this. I'm sorry. Carnage of Krell. It wouldn't really make sense if it was on Krell. Carnage of Krell, season 4, episode 9. And where they talk about the clones to face execution for disobeying his orders. I can see this conflict ending with a confrontation between Rex and his men either mutinying and turning on Krell because he's a jerk and deserves it, or Anakin returning and realizing it and doing a very dark deed. Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, I think that... Here's what I'm afraid of, actually. I am afraid that what will happen is exactly what you're speculating. Essentially, having the clones, any number of them, some of them or all of them, maybe or maybe not Rex, turn on Krell and possibly murder him. Simply, if he leads them into deep enough water and it's his life or theirs, I wouldn't find it surprising they already dislike him so much. The thing is, what will happen to the Clone Wars if this happens? My thing is, I'm not sure that the Clone Wars could come back from that. Not in that it would become a worse series or anything, but because it would take such a dark turn, the clones wouldn't ever be quite the same. But we would be sensing a complete shift in the tone of the show, a shift in the direction of the show. We would never quite look at the clones the same. All of a sudden, we have Order 66 on the back of our minds all of the time, and we can never quite tune into the show the same way. Not that it's spoiled, just that it's taken on a new and darker tone, perhaps. It's a little frightening to see. I mean, most people that I've talked to who are pretty avid Star Wars fans get pretty teary-eyed, at least, during Order 66, if not outright crying. So yeah.
I cried like a baby, man.
Yeah. So it's a move towards an inevitable, at this point, serious fall in the Star Wars story.
Definitely.
Why are you ending this show? I'm having too much fun for you to end this show.
Wow. Well, I guess we could just... Like you, exactly the same as you said last week, stomp all over the next show. See, that's the thing, Bethany. You paint it in such a negative light. No, we're doing this weekly, every week, live on Middle Earth Network Radio. No more of this monthly or bi-weekly junk. We're serious.
We do
we're
have a little time left.
And we do have a couple minutes. We do have a couple minutes left on the timer. But, Carl, thoughts on this most recent episode? I know you've been watching more recently going through the episodes. Aside from wanting him to die, what are your thoughts on this episode?
I think Carl may have had to leave. Are you still around, Carl?
Oh,
yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, he's there.
Yay. Yes. Oh, no. I mean, that's a bit of a harsh
Oh, you're breaking up, Carl. He's sort of here.
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, there you are.
Yeah, so I hope this season
I'm sorry, Carl. You're breaking up too much. We can't hear you, unfortunately. But we'll get you on future episodes, and really do look forward to seeing the Wampa's Lair as it airs on StarWarsReport.com. So stay tuned. Watch StarWarsReport.com. Stay tuned to our Facebook page, our Twitter page. Look at Star Wars Report, and we'll be letting you guys know all about it. Also, send us an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, about any of the stories we've been talking about. We always enjoy getting emails from you and do our very best, and so far have a pretty good track record of getting everyone's email read on air, and that's always a lot of fun. So send us emails, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And for the brand new shows, let's send some fan mail over to the Wampa's Lair guys. Send them an email at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. That's where you want to go. I think that's going to do it for this episode. I just want to leave you guys with one final note. As we continue our journey through Star Wars and through the fan community, one great thing you can do is tell other folks about the show. Tell them about the live shows, Thursday nights, 8 p.m., Middle Earth Network Radio. Also, review us on iTunes for the podcast listeners. Let people know that you're listening and that you're enjoying our show. It means the world to us to get some feedback, both in emails, but also publicly on places like iTunes and letting us know what you think on Facebook and that sort of thing. Let other people know that you're listening and really embrace the community aspect of this. That's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Are we going to stick around and talk to the chat?
Yeah. We'll stick around after the episode, talk to the chat. That's why you guys should tune in live. So, once again, this has been the Star Wars Report live on Middle Earth Network Radio.
Live!
We're doing it live! So long, everyone. I'm Riley.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Mark.
Carl, are you back? I think we may have lost him.
I am here.
He's always back. Say goodbye to the folks for us, Carl.
Hey, it's been a lot of fun, guys. Thank you so much. And please, I know Riley dropped our name again, but please check out the Wampa's Lair. Give us a listen. We'll be putting the shows up very soon on the Star Wars Report site.
Yeah.
And you can now find us on Twitter at Wampa's Lair Podcast, as well as
there you go.
Facebook, Wampa's Lair Podcast on Facebook as well.
There you go. That's going to do it. And remember, many boffins died to what?
To bring you this podcast.
To bring you this podcast.